and weddings are times of receiving gifts. I enjoy doing funerals more than I do weddings, because you don't have any doubt about what happened or what's going to happen. And when you do a wedding, you never know how it's going to turn out. So I really enjoy funerals more than weddings. And so anytime you want somebody else to do your wedding, I won't be offended. That you said, that sounds horrible and cruel. No, I'm just being honest about it. And I do enjoy doing weddings. I enjoy doing some of them because I'm just almost certain what's going to happen. But even then, I've been wrong. You say, well, what's that got to do with this message? Not a blinking thing. It's just something I could cross my mind right now when a moon howled at midnight. Now, spiritual warfare for souls of mankind since the Garden of Eden has continued between the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of the seed, the Lord Christ Jesus. Genesis 3:15-21. You've heard this so many times and so often that I don't have to talk about this. I'll just read it. And I will put enmity between thee, the devil, who produces tares, and the woman in this case meaning the gender of the woman, and Eve would be the first woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. That's the way you destroy a serpent's ability to poison, to kill. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Jesus walked upon this earth as a human being, perfect human being, formed in the womb of the Virgin Mary with all the fullness of the Godhead in him. Also, you've heard this many times, and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them, which indicated the blood sacrifice, which God had a definite purpose in giving them and telling them about. And Cain deliberately and willfully, with forethought and knowledge, understanding what he should have offered something other than that. But even then, God told him, if you present the right offering, you'll be reconciled. But he did not. You all know that. It's been preached on this subject by many preachers for many years. Now, Matthew 13:34-42, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. He tells you the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but his tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jack Branch came across scriptures that talked about these things throughout the Bible, and they are in many places. And he asked me, is it possible for a saved person to commit the same sins as a tare? And I went through and explained it to him. And I had preached this many years ago. But I did that when I first came up here. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now God's seed gives eternal life seed to all calling on the Lord. He gives it to them. It's by grace. What is grace? God gives you his righteousness. Christ gives you his righteousness. The Holy Spirit gives you his righteousness. And there is one God. That is the only thing that separates you from heaven and a lake of fire. Works don't separate you from it. Evil doesn't separate you from it. You separate yourself from it because you will not accept God's righteousness and you want to try to maintain your own. And you can do that before salvation, and you can do that after salvation. Now, I went through the scriptures when I came up here, and I looked at every instance in the Bible where all kinds of different sins are discussed, and they're generally the same ones. But there is only one case where it mentions righteousness, and that is the only case in the Bible where the people go to hell. And yet they are guilty of sins that are committed by people who have been saved. There is a difference, and it's something that is very difficult for preachers to preach, because it is very difficult to get self-righteous people to accept it. Having been self-righteous a large part of my life, and still having the seed of self-righteousness in me, I not only know from the Scripture, I know from experience. So, God's seed gives eternal life seed to all calling on the Lord. Period. That is grace. God giving you His righteousness. That is grace. You say, well, what about all the other... That is grace. If God doesn't give you His righteousness, you are not going to heaven. If God does give you His righteousness, you are going to heaven. Because you can't have any righteousness of your own before you're saved or after you're saved. It doesn't work that way. Now you say, that doesn't sound right to me. I know it doesn't sound right to you because you've got a carnal nature just like me. And to believe that God is that gracious is something that's just difficult. But that is exactly what I believe. Now in Genesis 4, 25, 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, this is what God said, according to Eve, hath anointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him, there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Then, began men to call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to read this next paragraph so I won't get mixed up when I'm teaching it, because I want you to understand all this, because I think it's vitally important to understanding what gift God has given us in the form of grace. This incarnate Old Testament seed, Jesus, now they didn't know his name. His name was the Lord. You say, well, what's Jesus' name? It's the Lord Savior. They didn't know his name was Jesus, but they called him the Lord, the Savior. The incarnate seed, Jesus, was manifest in a Bethlehem manger as God himself in the past, the present, and the future, Emmanuel. In the Old Testament, it's spelled with an I, and the New Testament is spelled with an E, or vice versa, I can't remember which. Named Jesus before birth, and called God Almighty, the everlasting God, by the prophet Isaiah. Man can call upon his name as Jesus in the New Testament because it was revealed before his manger birth, and the angel Gabriel told her to call him, have him named Jesus, which means Savior, a Savior with us, God with us. If I had ended up in hell, why would I be sent there? I would be sent there because I didn't have any righteousness. I've never had any righteousness except the righteousness that I have, which was given to me by grace from Jesus Christ. Can you imagine God giving me His righteousness? Can you imagine God giving Paul His righteousness? Can you imagine God giving you His righteousness, considering all the evil thoughts you've had, all the bad things you've said, and all the things you're going to say between now and the time you die? You say, no, that's just not true. That is the absolute truth. And I'm not afraid of saying it, knowing I'm going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the truth. And what is salvation? It is when God gives you His righteousness, period. It's not when you're baptized. It's not when you observe the Lord's Supper correctly. It's not when you stay in fellowship with Him. It's when He gives you His righteousness at the moment you receive Him as Savior. Emmanuel, with us. John 5:24. I've preached this till it's going out of style. Lord in mercy, you can tell other people about this by memory. John 5:24. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. I heard his word when I was saved. That instant, I heard it. For the first time I heard it, my ears were open and they received it. And it was the Father that opened my ears and let me receive the Son. I was led to the Son. And believeth on him that sent me. I believe the Father sent him. I believe the Father sent him. And yet in the Son dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hath, present, indicative, active. You can't get any more certain than this. John said, has it right that moment, that instant. Hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It's a one-way passage. Have I sinned since I was saved? Oh, Lord, you know. And you know sins I'm not even aware I'm guilty of. But they're all forgiven. You say, well, that doesn't seem fair. Well, there is an inheritance. And you better believe that God is just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. But you better believe that His imputed righteousness is the only righteousness you will ever have. And you will be grateful to Him for all eternity. And it will be the greatest gift that you ever received since you came out of your mother's womb. The gift was provided before you ever came out of your mother's womb. It was provided in the seed. It was a promise of a seed. And when Christ died on that cross, He died for Abel. He died for Enoch. He died for all of the Old Testament saints that called upon His name, believing He was God's seed. You say, well, what about those people that never heard of Him? God winked at it. You say, well, that makes Him sound like He's some kind of a trickster. No, God overlooked it because God is gracious, and graciousness is the keynote of grace. Graciousness, compassion, that is the fruit, that is the absolute fruit of grace. So, how can I ever do anything but fall down before God and thank Him? Thank Him forever that He saved me solely by grace. And after I was saved, He made a way for me to follow Him in fellowship, confessing my sins, washing my feet as I go through life, trying to attain His pleasure in the way He lives my life and not resisting Him. That's why the church is really so important. Church doesn't save you. It's when you are in church and you are pleasing Him by the way He saved you to worship Him. It's not complicated. It's very simple. He says, then began men to call upon the Old Testament name of the Lord. The incarnate Old Testament seed was manifested in a Bethlehem manger as God Himself in the past, the present, and the future. Emmanuel, named Jesus before birth and called God Almighty, the everlasting God by the prophet Isaiah, man can now call upon His name as Jesus in the New Testament because it was revealed from His manger's birth. From the manger's birth. Where did I learn that? From God. I didn't learn it from a seminary teacher. I didn't learn it from a book some polyteller wrote. I wrote it from, learned it from the book that 40 men, about 40 men, wrote over about a 40-year period, the inspired word of Almighty God. And he taught me from his book that what I just told you is true. And that's what God wanted churches to do. God wanted churches to pass on this teaching, which they were capable of, to congregation after congregation after congregation after congregation, but they did not want to hear it. They still don't want to hear it. So they created three gods. I guess that's a little easier to do what you want. He says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, isn't God the resurrection and the life? Isn't he isn't the office of the Father, the one that God, the Son, the office of God, the Son, that the man Christ Jesus, who was perfect flesh and blood, prayed to? He said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Who's going to resurrect all these people? Jesus. Who resurrected Jesus? The Godhead. Who is Jesus? In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He had the power to resurrect himself. And when the rapture comes, guess who's going to get resurrected? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Guess who's going to be rewarded? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Enoch. All those in the Old Testament, in the Hebrews, the 11th chapter. That's not hard to realize. Who's going to wear the best clothing in heaven, the most glorious glory in heaven? Who's going to be recognized by what they wear? The Old Testament saints that called on his name and were faithful to him. Who's going to do the same from the New Testament? The New Testament saints that after they were saved were faithful to worship him as he directed. Where are we supposed to worship? In a local New Testament church. That's where. That's what we're doing. You say, well, this don't seem too hard to me. The devil has made it hard. Not God. The devil has made it hard. He does not want you to come to church. He does not want you to serve in church. He doesn't want you to worship in a church. He doesn't want that. He can't unsave you, but he can sure lure you out into the world and lead you to do the same thing that some of these people that are lost as a goose are doing as an everyday measure and are never convicted by it. He says, God's seed gives abiding faith, hope, and love in the Spirit. What else you want? You want to speak in tongues? You want to jump over pews? You want to be excited and emotional? Lift up your hands and holler and scream? You want to show people by your fleshly actions, I'm born again, I've got the Spirit in me? Keep doing it long enough and you'll believe it yourself. Because the devil will help your emotions like you would not believe. Now, what have I got now that I'm very thankful for? This is my Christmas gift. It's part of it. My salvation was given to me by the man who was born in a manger in Bethlehem, who is Almighty God. He gave it to me, and I didn't even know he gave it to me. You say, well, why didn't you know it? A child is not able to understand that. But when I became a man, God helped me to put away childish things. And he left three abiding gifts. And they're right here in this church. They're right here in you, if you know Christ. And they're right here in me. These are seed fruits of God's faith, hope, and charity gifts. Agape, the highest form of love. God's love, the kind of love that God gave you so that you could phileo him. Hopefully, agape him. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, suffering, gentleness. Now, I put fruit in there because it is singular. But all these are derivatives of it. You know why Sister George and Brother George were so happy? You know why my grandparents were so happy? They didn't finish school. But they had all these gifts. But it's gift, but it's a multiplicity of them. Joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Man, were they a blessing to me. And there have been many people in this church that were blessings to me because I saw Christ in them. I saw the faith of Jesus. I saw the hope of Jesus. And I saw the love of Jesus in them. And when he came out of them, I realized that he had those things that I could attain to. Meekness, temperance. God forgive me. It's taken me a long time to learn these. Against such there is no law. Why do you think I preach that scripture, Philippians 2:12? Why do you think I do that? I know you get bored with it. At least I feel like you may. Philippians 2:12. And 2:12 to 2:14. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, not just when I'm there, but now much more in my absence. Two words that are one word. I'm not trying to impress you. I never have been trying to impress you on the language. That's katergazeste. It's a mouthful. Katergazeste. Do you know what it means? I know you know. You've seen me walk from that wall to that wall, that wall to this wall, and said, God gave you salvation. God sealed your soul. God gave you eternal life. Now he says, you're still alive. Paul said, I'm still alive. But God gave it to us to carry to an ultimate conclusion. What is the ultimate conclusion? Christ-likeness. You say, I don't think I'll ever be like him in this life. God doesn't say you will be. God says, give it a run, give it a try. Run the race of life and stay in fellowship with God. And when you break it, let him wash your feet, let him cleanse your soul. Let him have his way in your life. Pick yourself up by his grace and mercy and try again until you draw your last breath or lose your mind, one or the other. There's great joy in that. Do you realize that these things are gifts? Do you realize that hope, faith, and love and all these things, the fruit of the Spirit, you realize they're gifts? Do you realize that only God can give these gifts? You say, well, my grandmother, she made me see these things. Who do you think it was in you that did that? You say, well, my grandfather was just like that. Listen, it doesn't have anything to do with whether they were like that. It has to do with, are you going to be like that? Are you going to set an example where when you die, your children can say, my dad, he really followed the Lord. He loved the Word. And they'll love the Word themselves. Who is doing it? God. Jesus Christ. That's why you should follow him after you're saved. That's why you should let your children know how much you love them. You don't love them if you don't teach them about the Lord. Now, when I came up here, I used to think if you didn't come to church, oh, it's terrible, 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 terrible. There are reasons for not coming to church. God wants his children to see that you love them. And when they see you love them because of Jesus, they'll want to know about this Jesus. So there are legitimate excuses for not coming to church. There are legitimate excuses. There are legitimate excuses for not coming caroling, there are all kind of things like that. I mean, if your kids need you, go. June left because she's got obligations at home just a few minutes ago. So did Cooney. Years ago, that would have really teed me off because I was immature in the faith. And I just thought if you missed one service, oh my, what a horrible thing. I was wrong. I'm glad they went. And I'm glad they're showing their children that they love them. It doesn't teach them the wrong lesson. It teaches them that they are important. And you better believe those two that just left let their children know who Jesus is and why he's important. So when you're gone somewhere and you've gone to see your kin folks, your mother, your dad, whatever, you think I'm telling you, you ought to be in church. No, you ought to be right there serving God and letting them see how much you love God and telling them what the church means to you and how much you love it. And that's the lesson. That's what it's all about. I wasn't here this morning because my legs were killing me and because I had to work on something that I thought was important. Namely this. So, I don't feel bad about it. And I'm sure Leonard taught a wonderful Sunday school lesson.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. That's the first amen I've had out of him in 20 years. Now, what do all things without murmuring and disputings? Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Okay, now these are fruits of God's faith, hope, and charity gifts. You ever thank God for them? Do you ever just take the time to thank God that you've got this? Listen, you know why you're sitting here? God's grace. You know why you're listening to this and hearing it? God's grace. This is the greatest. If you want to call it a Christmas present, go ahead. We don't know when he was born, but if he hadn't been born, this wouldn't be true. And this is my Christmas gift. This is how on Christmas I can sit over there and be sad about certain things, but overjoyed about other things. Do you realize I'm going to get to see all those people that have gone on before me? Do you realize they're going to be real and genuine and I'm going to get to see them there? And it's going to be wonderful. Think about all those that have gone on before you. And they'll be there because God saved them. And many of them will have garments that are brighter than yours. These are the seed fruits of devil's rebellion against God's seed. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy. Sounds just like today's world, doesn't it? Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such things. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous... I thank God he put that in there. Because this is the requirement for heaven. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to heaven if you're unrighteous. Period. But I am not unrighteous, nor will I ever be unrighteous, because the seed of God lives in me, and it is his righteousness that gets me to heaven. So he says, be not deceived. Neither fornication nor idolaters are effeminate. And you can, I'm not going to say what these are, because they might get a tape of it, and they might have them down here trying to arrest me for teaching stuff I shouldn't teach. But you can just imagine what effeminate is. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And you can just figure out what that is. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to heaven because of the expression, the unrighteous. These are unrighteous people. You say, well, thank God, saved people wouldn't do that. Oh, is that real? Do you understand that over in Revelation chapter 22, it says that he that is unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still. He said, he that is covetous, let him be covetous still, or words to that effect. Still appears in there four times. Now, I'm going to sing a little song here, and I don't mean to be funny, but it gets the point across. Maybe I better not sing that song. Charlie Brown, Charlie Brown, you're going to get caught. Just you wait and see. When you see those people in heaven that were saved by God's righteousness, that would not follow his teaching, they're not going to be as bright and shining as those who did, and they're not going to have the same glorious covering, clothing, that the others had. But unfortunately for them, God is planning to catch those who he gave his righteousness, and they're going to live outside the walls of that city. You can count on it. He says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Where's that inside the city? And may enter in through the gates into the city. The gates lead into the city. They're not going in. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Go back up above that four verses And it says, let him read that. Don't tell me saved people can't do that. They can depart the faith and go into the worst. They can return to their own vomit. And God's grace still prevails. You say, well, I don't believe he's that gracious. Well, I do. The devil's seed gives pleasure in flesh for a temporary season. Seed of the devil gave man corrupted souls before the flood. The curse of the seed was seen again in Canaan after the flood. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to name what these things are. Because if somebody gets a hold of this tape, they're liable to have the CPA, WPA, ARB, CBC, CCC, the Communist Affiliated Unit, Secretary of State. They're liable to have everybody down here and put me in prison. But I'm going to tell them I got it from Leonard. I said, I don't believe that. Ask Leonard. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. I'm not going to name what this is. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. I let the people that arrest me decide, well, do you really think I meant that? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. Ooh. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Isn't abortion against nature? And I can't stop from mentioning that. And likewise also the men, living the natural use of the woman. Man, that's one thing I don't understand. Because women are attractive. Burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. I told you what that was years ago. And it has blossomed and blossomed and the percentage is increasing and increasing. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate man. That means they are never going to repent. To do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all... This sounds just like it is today. This was the way it was before the flood. With all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignancy, whisperers, backbiters, without understanding, covenant breakers. Man, these must be bad dudes. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they put it out of their minds. They don't want to know the judgment. And they criticize those people that talk about the judgment. That they who commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Listen, that could have been me. If I had succumbed to the devil, who knows? I might be guilty of many of these things. If I had fought off Christ long enough, and had not received him, I could be there. I could be one of them. And I could even be one of them now. But by the grace of God, he has taught me what these things are and how wrong they are. That's a present. That's a present from God. And God will keep you because you know the difference. You listened to it. And you are not nearly so much interested in killing all of them as you are in not you or your children doing it. And you need to teach your children that. And you need to raise them in the understanding of what these things are in the privacy of your home. And in public too, if you feel like it. He says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now I'm going to talk about the seed character of the devil's curse was in the man, Canaan, after the flood. I'll preach on this again Wednesday night. I was in pretty bad shape last Wednesday, and I just wasn't able to do it. But I wanted to. And the sons of Noah that went out of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. Well, why didn't it say, and such is the father of Cush, or why is the father of... Well, why didn't it talk about Shem and Japheth? Why didn't it mention one of their sons? That's interesting. There's a reason. Genesis 9:18, and the sons of Noah that went out of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. They didn't mention the other sons, just one son, and they didn't mention who Japheth and Shem's sons were. That's interesting. Now, this is something that is very, very interesting. Ham was the middle son. And he was not the youngest son. In the Bible, you go through and check this out. And with one exception, which is can be proved that it doesn't mean what you think. It's always Shem and Ham and Japheth. That's the way they listed them in the Bible, the oldest first. They listed the youngest, usually last. But in this case, Ham was the middle son. Now these are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. They went every which direction. Now that's important, and I'll show out why it's important on next Wednesday night, Lord willing. And Noah began to be an husbandman. He began to be someone who planted things. And he planted a vineyard of grapes. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. Have you ever been, when I was in North Africa, I've been uncovered when I was drunk. I did it myself. And I woke up naked. You say, well, that's terrible. It was in a billocks on a base. And we had a big party. But this is something that someone else did to him, because there are too many specifics mentioned in here. I was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, why didn't it just say, and Ham saw the nakedness of his father? Well, he did. But somebody else saw it before him. Once again, it mentions the father of Canaan. Well, Canaan was the youngest son. That's a fact. Saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. So you mean that God made Ham a black man, and because of that, and he cursed Ham, and because of Ham, the black race was formed, and that Ham was a black man because his name means swarthy? That is not true. He said, Genesis 9, Genesis 10 and 6, and the sons of Ham, Cush and Merim and Put and Canaan. He was the youngest one. Genesis 9, 19 through 27. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And I'm going to show you what I believe created the three different races. And Noah began to be an husbandman and planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and drunken and was covered in his tent. I'll do that Wednesday night, Lord willing. And Ham, the father of Canaan, again he misses it, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren about, you mean they cursed Ham just because he happened to walk in there and see him naked? That's not consistent with the way God deals with men. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it both upon their shoulders and went backward and uncovered the nakedness of their fathers, and their fathers were backwards. They didn't see his nakedness. But do you mean God cursed Ham because he uncovered his father and saw his nakedness? Or just because he saw his nakedness, regardless of who did it? And they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew. I mean, he didn't suspect, he knew. Cain went in and discovered it. But Canaan knew who was there and was drinking with him when this happened. And knew what his younger son, now notice the inspired word of God, Ben. The younger son, Ben, had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. He didn't curse Ham. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he was. All the descendants of Cain served as servants because of this thing that Canaan had done unto his father. This is a horrible sin. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth. Those are the two sons. And Canaan shall be his servant. That prophecy was fulfilled, and to this day is still being at least partially fulfilled. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. And he did for a while, but he wasn't for sin or anything. And Canaan shall be his servants. Now here's the kicker. The word grandfather does not appear in the Bible because it is translated as son. When the Bible says that Jesus said he was the son of David, he was the Ben of David, the great, 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 great grandson. They used son every time. And God has been very careful in this narrative to let us know who the guilty one was. And this came through the flood. And Israel, Canaan, paid a terrible price. Ham did not violate his father's nakedness by performing a perverted act. That's exactly what it was. It was carried out by his youngest son, Canaan, the youngest grandson of Noah. He was the youngest grandson of Noah because he was the youngest grandson of Ham. He didn't curse Ham. Now, I'm going to talk Wednesday night about melanocytes. God gave them to man in the Garden of Eden. When God created Adam, he created melanocytes in him. And he did a lot of things in the human body that are miraculous. But the one thing God did, he gave a lot of benefits to man. And one of the benefits God gave man was the way he put his body together and gave him health benefits that would allow him, by God's creation, to be protected from certain things that could cause and give him death. Now, the one thing I'm sure of is what I just preached to you. I'll tell you about the melanin and the melanocytes on Wednesday night, and you can make up your own mind. You say, well, why didn't God reveal that to mankind before? We're in the last days, and we've got a rabid outbreak of this now. And it's terrible. And you want to blame somebody for it? Blame the devil. If you want to narrow it down to somebody that was a person that carried it over past the flood, blame Canaan. But whatever you do, it wasn't Ham's fault. It was Canaan that did it. And you say, well, you know, God ought to come out and just mention all these words we use today. This is so... I don't know. I don't know this to be true. But in studying the Bible, I get the idea that God is so embarrassed by this. Not embarrassed personally, but embarrassed for us. That's a very delicate subject. But I think he makes it very clear what it is. And I have kept you over again. But I wanted to get that out because I hope you'll come back Wednesday night and listen to this. because I think our children might find this interesting. And since it was discovered by science in the last days, I think it's important.
Because God said many would run to and fro, and knowledge would be increased. And I am of the opinion.